Okay, it's time to talk all things canine, and we welcome back Wendy Claxton. Morning, Wendy.
Morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm very well. I'm hoping that the world of canines with you is all pretty good right now.
It is, although oddly enough, the this clock moving forward business has thrown them completely.
How do they cope with it?
Oh, well, do you know, they won't get up in the morning to start with.
Yeah.
And then obviously, supper time, there's a lot of marching around, and they've got the hour completely wrong. It's thrown us unbelievably, I have to say.
Yeah.
We were saying to somebody today that it can take a few days for us to get right. I foolishly and embarrassingly went for a training lesson to somebody's house and I was an hour late.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with the clocks. That's just Wendy, isn't it?
Oh, I felt so bad. And they did actually say, oh, did you know, how do you get on with moving the clocks? Yeah, fine, says I. But anyway, hey-ho. But yeah, the dogs struggle for a few days. And I know dairy, well, you know all this, don't you, with cows and things.
Yeah.
Dairy herd, you have to do it quite slowly to get them back. You find that hour again.
They adjust slightly. I mean, all it is for us is that the dogs want their breakfast a little earlier.
Mm.
That's all. I don't know, sometimes they have to wait, but it does adjust itself reasonably quickly. Anyway, speaking of adjusting, we were talking puppies last time we spoke, and we were deciding whether to get one or not, and we decided we should.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from here? So the plan really is to try and find out sort of puppy we want, size, breed, you know, whether it's a rescue or a pedigree dog. There are so many choices and options these days. Where do you start?
Exactly. It's one of those things, you look at people who've got dogs and say, that's a nice dog, where did you get it from? And invariably they'll say, it's not my dog, I'm walking it for a friend, and that's not helpful at all. But you have to know if it's a family thing or if it's just for you and your partner. If children are involved, obviously, that's a whole different thing. But you need to know what size of dog you want. Don't necessarily think that small dogs are going to be easier. As you get older, I would recommend that, depending on what issues you've got, if you've got back issues and such like that, don't go for a tiny dog, because you've still got to bend down and pick them up and put them in the car, or pick them up and do things with them, like groom them and so on and so forth. So not always the most sensible thing. And small, very small dogs, older people are prone to fall over, and because their vision changes, they can't necessarily see below that well, and so they fall over, and quite often, depending on your age and whether you've got arthritis, can end up breaking your own hip, and then that's you a bit in a pickle, and obviously your dog not getting any help either. So look at the size you want, the breed type again. If it's going to be a mixed breed, then roughly know what's in the breed type, make some questions, ask some questions. But if you're going for a specific breed, know what it's for. We had a quick ask round in class yesterday.
Yeah.
And we said, you know, what is your breed and what is your breed type and what's it for? Now, the majority of the dogs were pure breeds and everybody knew. A couple of people were a bit hazy. And then one person in particular said, oh, well, my bird does blah, blah. And we said, well, that's because it's got that in it. And they looked shocked and surprised.
Mm-hmm.
They knew, obviously, the makeup of the dog. And they said, oh, well, is that why the dog does this? And we chuckled a bit and said, well, yes, because that's what that dog does. Well, I never knew that. And you never expect anybody not to know these things. And this is one of these sort of multi breeds that's got a name. I mean, you know, like you get the cockapoo. Well, it's a cocker spaniel and a poodle. But within that, you've then got to understand and know what a poodle does and what a cocker spaniel does.
And a labradoodle, for instance. That's
exactly.
Another one, isn't it?
Exactly. So you've got to really know. So then you've decided maybe what you want to get, and know their traits, know their health issues, know how big they're going to get. Because again, as the prices of dog food is going to go up and up, because a lot of the grains come over from Ukraine that make the dog food and all sorts of things, and everything's going up. As we know, the price of fuel, and although I understood it was meant to come down again, but it hasn't much, has it?
Let's not go there.
No, all right. Anyway, so it's costing more and more to feed dogs, and obviously rescue centres are going to get more of them. Look at that. Look at your insurance. Ask your local vet, you know, how much vet bills are, because people don't really take this sort of into consideration when they get a dog. They just think, oh, I've got a dog. They've paid that amount of money for the dog if they've bought a brand new one from a breeder, or even if they've got a rescue one. They think that's it, done. Mm. But it's not. So so you have to look at, obviously, again, what size. The bigger the size, the more it eats. The bigger the size, it might have other health issues. And also, as I say, the type. Do you want a hound? Do you want a terrier? Do you want a herding dog, a guarding dog? It's a minefield, really.
I think it is. I was going to say that the one thing in there that strikes me with all of this is there are different needs and requirements for sort of taking on or training, for instance, a rescue dog and a pedigree. The pedigrees have various health issues inbuilt because of the way certain breeds are bred these days. And there are different requirements for the rescue dogs because of the past treatment they may well have had. So, you know, with a pedigree puppy, you're dealing with a blank page. And with a rescue, you're dealing with something that's got, well, quite a bit of baggage that comes with it.
Well, exactly. So the pedigree dog is going to give you a bit of grief because it's a puppy, and you get it, and it's a very quiet little puppy, and isn't it gorgeous? And then within sort of a couple of weeks, it's like something crazy and possessed and charging around the place. And most people, if we do one-to-one training, go to their house when they've got this dog there, you speak to them before they get it and everything's fine. Yeah, we're sorted. And then you get a phone call about 2 weeks later. Oh, could you come over? And then, you know, the amount of people that just burst into tears because they've got too tired. They've got overtired. Not the dogs, the humans have got overtired. And so everything becomes sort of insurmountable. And as you say, with your rescue dog, you could get a rescue dog that's a pure breed. So on top of which you've got health issues of a pure breed. But then when you get your rescue dog, depending on the type of rescue you've got, it will have other issues. And it's that then in itself, you've got with your pure breed puppy, you need a hell of a lot of patience and determination, but to be quite tough. Now, with your rescue dog, depending on its history, you need a hell of a lot of patience, not as tough, because you need you need more of the patience and the understanding. Because sometimes if you're over tough, you need to be tough enough, but if you're over tough on them, they just shy away. And because a lot of them have been human abused. So,
well, that's the problem, because a lot of them do actually cut. I mean, stems from a rather large part from the puppy farm trade, that lots of these dogs come from those sorts of places, and they seriously do come with some pretty serious challenges to them. So anybody thinking of getting a rescue dog, do your homework first.
Well, exactly. And, you know, if you get a rescue dog, are you going to go with this country? And this country, again, has its own dramas, because so many people we've spoken to want to get a dog from this country in the rescue, can't get them at all. Mm. I'm not quite sure why. I mean, I know there's a lot out there, and I also know lots of people are applying.
I think rescue centres actually do try and put too many restrictions on. I mean, one of the biggest things is an absolutely 100% secure back garden. That's just one thing. I mean, I've been refused a dog before now, and I've had dogs for years, and certainly have an enclosed back garden, but I got refused by probably the biggest animal rescue of the lot, because, well, the other thing they go for is the amount of hours that you're out of the house.
Exactly. And like you, Tony, this last year, when obviously Boris told us all to rush out and get a dog, we were quite interested in getting another dog. Couldn't get one for love nor money. And again, like you, I've been refused quite a few by, again, like you, some of the really big rescue places, which I find is the most insulting thing ever in the whole wide world.
Well, it is really, because you're prepared to give up a lot of time, effort and money and love to taking on a less than fortunate dog, and you've got some holier than thou people who are making some of the most inordinately ridiculous decisions on who should have and who shouldn't.
I know, and I appreciate it's tricky. Having been at both ends, we used to do rescue, and I think it's a bit like the job market. Some people just interview well. Some people, we've seen people that should never have rescue dogs, and they got them, you know, within a few days.
Yeah.
And yet, like yourself, you can apply and don't get them. So I think it's whether you interview well, whether you put the right things down, or in other people's cases, you know, you've skirted over a few of the things. But
you're not suggesting that people should tell anything less than the truth, are you?
No, they should tell the truth, but there's people out there, as we know, don't.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, but also then you've got the issue of your fencing, which is, I agree, is a very important thing.
Yes, it
but
is.
But there's nothing to stop you going out and buying a puppy and not having, you know, one even fence post in your garden. Well, it's completely open to,
yeah,
you know, the
that's,
world.
That's my point about some of the restrictions put on rescue centre by rescue centres. So again, the advice really to anybody wanting to get a puppy and thinks a great idea to get a rescue. It is. It's a fabulous idea, but the things to watch out for are the questions you're going to get from a rescue centre, and B, the problems that come with most rescue dogs. They will all have some sort of history or other, and so you, in other words, you really do need rather a lot of patience as well to go with it.
You do. You need stacks of patience. And then you see the other thing is people have thought, well, forget the rescue in this country, let's go abroad.
Yeah.
And I do believe a lot of the dogs coming in for abroad are inverted commas rescue, but they are bred for the English market or the British market. So they're sort of faux rescues in so much as it's almost like a puppy farm abroad, but being bred for this country, but under the heading of rescue, because they've had to put a stop on them coming in so young. But these little puppies were coming in so young, and you think, well, how come they're all looking like the dogs that people want in this country, which was, this was the other year. A lot of people obviously wanting cockapoos, and so therefore the spookiest thing was a lot of dogs coming in from abroad happened to look like cockapoos. Well, you can't tell me they're all street dogs, because that coat would play havoc with you on the street.
Very few street dogs in that situation. I do know some people who have had street dogs from places like Romania, and they are wonderful after a while. But again, you've got problems there. I mean, the initial problem for anybody with any dog is that dogs don't speak English.
No.
They really don't. And it's multiplied up even further when your dog comes from a place further afield than the United Kingdom, because the language that they will hear, not that they understand too much, but the sounds they hear will be different. We have a Polish rescue Labrador. And we've actually tried this out with her. I mean, she's great with English now. She's been in this country for, I think, about 7 or 8 years. And she's pretty good with it, but we did try her out on a couple of Polish phrases once, and she sort of perked up when we said them. So yeah, they do actually understand these things, but if you're getting one from abroad, you have to be aware that they will not know the English sounds at all.
No, you see, that's it exactly. And, you know, it's be very difficult for them. So they've got to understand all that. And then we've got to understand them. And the other point is they invariably come from a big pound. So if they were outside and then you've brought them over to this country away from all their friends, so a lot of rescue centres like you to have at least one other dog, a nice kind dog. So what they're trying to say is not something crazy, because if it's crazy or got issues itself, it's going to then teach the new dog to be crazy and have issues. So you really want a nice steady dog. So yeah, if you get a dog in from abroad, it could then be lonely because it might be used to 200 other dogs in the pound. It's coming out of that. Lots of dogs come over and people think, oh golly, they're ever so thin. Let's feed them up. So not only have we brought them out of an environment that they were possibly quite happy with all their mates, and their health issues were probably fine, but then we pump them full of food, not necessarily even the food that they would be used to, especially if they're street dogs. I mean,
rescue centres don't use, but I mean, to my own experience, rescue dogs aren't used to usually the best food. You can look at little things like the paws, the gums and that, to give you some idea of just, you know, how good or bad some of this stuff is. Get them onto a decent feed, and a decent feed, as you've already pointed out, is going to cost you a bit of money. Get a decent feed, and the difference within a couple of weeks is very, very noticeable.
Mm. And it is, as you say, but to suddenly go from the sort of food that they're on to what we would consider to be a decent feed can upset them quite considerably.
Yeah.
So, and even a lot of the street dogs have themselves, you know, all right, we might think, well, it's not a very good diet, but they're quite circumspect with the stuff that they eat. They're not going to eat a load of rotting old watsits. No. So they, you know, they will eat fruit and vegetables, and they'll scavenge decent meats and stuff like that. But because they look slim, we tend to think, I mean, there's obviously there's slim and then there's thin and then there's appalling, but even people in this country seeing a slim dog, we seem to have lost the concept of the difference between a slim dog and a thin dog.
A light view of the ribs, I think, is the way to describe it, is what you should see. You shouldn't see an emaciated dog.
No.
That's underfed. Undernourished, you can see, as I say, in various different things like the gums and the paws and that. But a healthy dog will always look very much, like a slim dog. And that's how they're supposed to be. Yeah, they look fabulous.
Mm. And again, you know, the thing is, when they come over here, then perhaps because they're under the restraints of being a new dog to a new home, their exercise has dropped a load. So we've got to keep all these things ticking over.
But yeah,
it's a great thing to do, but it's one of those things. Any dog, whether it be a rescue or a dog that you buy, a puppy that you buy. Yeah. And indeed, you can even buy older dogs from breeders that perhaps have stopped breeding. That's, you know, your proper breeders. And they might have a six-month-old dog, or they might even have a year-old dog that they've decided that they weren't going to breed from. And that's quite a nice way of getting a dog as
well. Be careful of that, though, because you don't know how badly that puppy may well have been treated, because it's of no use to the kennels because they can't breed from it. So
yeah,
you need to be very careful. Do your homework, I would say. It's like a lot of this stuff. It's down to sort of homework, and then when you've got the dog, training. And training is something we're going to come on to next month once you've got your puppy home.
Yes.
Wendy, we're out of time. We've been chatting for quite some time now.
Golly, have we?
It just disappears. And once we get started, it's a wonderful subject. But thank you for that today.
Good.
And say what we'll do is get the puppy home and talk about some initial training next time. But for now, Wendy Claxton, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you. Bye-bye.